Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Oh, wait, I heard it. There it is. Oh, I don't know my timing. 610. The Steve Cochran Show.
Show number 732.
You know, we never celebrated the third anniversary of this show. Yeah, I don't know. Mary, you want to make a cake or something? We never had a third anniversary show.
Again?
Please make a cake.
Oh, that's right, Grisanna, to lead along.
Why do you sound so not excited?
Well, because I'm going to have to go back and look through the show and find a couple of highlights, and who knows how long that could take.
Wait, you are?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to have to ask Jake and Mary to go back and look through and find a couple of highlights.
Dave's Buckthorn would be a highlight.
When do you want to do... Jake, Mary, take a quick vote. When do you guys want to do the big anniversary show? How about this? Well, let's make it easy. Let's pick one highlight from the last year for the third anniversary show, which we will celebrate with a cake that Mary will make.
Just one highlight?
Yeah, one highlight.
Just one?
Yeah, one highlight.
Can I make a request? And I think Mike and Mary will like this request.
Chocolate.
No.
That's not
store-bought?
No. Can you guys do it when I get back from Greece? That'll give you a couple weeks.
Well, then it's like 4 years. It'll be the fourth anniversary show.
No, I'm only gone from 8 days.
We always do stuff late anyway.
We could do the flu
shots.
We
do all the birthdays late.
Flu shots on the same day.
Yes.
With
Mary,
the anniversary.
Why do you hate me? I love you. Why?
Andrea? But we already have the best moment already. So.
What's the best moment?
Lou. My buckthorn is exploding.
That's too easy.
That's
you're right,
up
though.
There.
That was a great
That's
moment.
That's up there.
If you have a favorite moment of the show in the last 12 months and you let me know about it, you'll save us a lot of work at Steve Cochran Show on Facebook and at Cochran Show on Twitter.
Maybe you get a prize for
helping. I'm going to go ahead and say any talk about my wedding is probably a highlight.
Yeah. I've already eliminated that. Here's one of the rules. Anything I'm not invited to doesn't get to play. 312-981-7200, that's the phone number or the text number. We'll figure out who won the Wang Dang Doodle Week 1. Coming up after 7 o'clock today, Senator Durbin will be on today. Elizabeth Vargas later on her brand new book about nearly killing herself as an alcoholic. And Nick DiGilio here in just a couple of minutes, Kid of the Week as well. At 6:12, I think we need to stop hyperventilating about Hillary Clinton's pneumonia.
Mm-hmm.
But until that's over, the hyperventilation continues. The bigger issue here, again, is the deception and the secrecy. It's not whether or not she had pneumonia. People are entitled to get sick, whether you're 68 or 28. And the big issue is, how do you get the Democratic nominee for president on Friday with a diagnosis of pneumonia who doesn't say anything about it until she's caught on video nearly fainting?
Okay, but playing devil's advocate, you know, I know we're all not running for president, but you know how you get sick or you get a diagnosis and you still want to keep working?
But she's not at Costco.
I know.
She's running for president.
And there's also the notion that maybe she just really badly wanted to go to that 9/11 ceremony.
Who cares? You don't get to decide, you know, I really, really, really want to go to Six Flags. Well, you're too sick. You're running for president. You have to tell the truth.
She could have just saved a lot of problems by saying, I haven't been feeling well. I'm battling this cough. I'm going to the doctor. Yeah, you're right. Be upfront about it.
Yeah. Did you see David Axelrod yesterday also? So the criticism is bipartisan. He said that her issues about this privacy are just are out of, that they need to change, basically.
Yeah, all she does is reinforce the fact that she doesn't tell the truth. Here's Hillary Clinton talking about it.
I just didn't think it was going to be that big a deal. It's just the kind of thing that if it happens to you and you're a busy, active person, you keep moving forward. And, you know, I think it's fair to say, Anderson, that people know more about me than almost anyone in public life. They've got 40 years of my tax returns, tens of thousands of emails, a detailed medical letter report, all kinds of personal details.
But doesn't your handling of this and your campaign's, you know, their refusal to acknowledge what happened until really after that video was circulated, confirmed the suspicion of some voters that you're not transparent or trustworthy?
Oh, my goodness, Anderson. You know, compare everything you know about me with my opponent. I think it's time he met the same level of disclosure that I have for years.
That's not the, that didn't answer the question. And here's the other thing. Chris Cuomo brought this up on CNN this morning very early. The reason Hillary Clinton has been so forthcoming about things in her life is because she's been investigated. Mm-hmm. She hasn't been forthcoming until the investigations and the questions have come up. It doesn't let Trump off the hook about anything. Anything.
I also blame her campaign a bit for this, too, because as soon as she got that pneumonia diagnosis, I would guarantee you, Steve, that somebody in that campaign said, uh-oh, oh, now this is surfacing.
Right, but
let's
it's
just,
up to
now,
her.
Let's just bury it.
It's up to her to say, no, it's a bad idea. I mean, she's been in her life because she's who she is mm-hmm. for, what, 25, 30 years?
Well, more than
she
that,
knows what's going to happen. The Clintons, and by the way, Bill Clinton coming out and speaking on her behalf doesn't help.
If the, you don't think so?
No. You look at Bill Clinton, you go, well, that guy's telling me the truth? Come on.
I don't know. I think people like Bill Clinton more now than
it's not about like. It's about trust. I mean, trust. You look at Bill Clinton and you go, he's telling me the truth.
Yeah.
You're in denial. You know, Clinton is not a guy to go to for the truth piece of the story. So, look, I don't know if she's healthy or not. I don't know if he's healthy or not. They're old. They're 68 and 70. If I'm willing to call myself old at 55, 68 and 70 is old.
Do you remember early on, too, Donald Trump lost his voice and no mention was made of it. It was
God,
right
I
after.
I wish he would lose it again. That would be so great. Hey, Jake, give me cut 8. This is where Trump is on a number of things. This got buried a little bit yesterday. But the first debate's 13 days away. Tell me when you're ready. And 13 days from now, you will have a sit down with the traditional debate set up with two candidates and a moderator. I think the first one's in New York.
Yep.
Is that the Lester Holt one?
I believe it is. Yeah. Then St. Louis and then Vegas.
Yeah. So here's Trump's idea for how the debate ought to be handled.
The fact is that they're gaming the system. And I think maybe we should have no moderator. Let Hillary and I sit there and just debate. Because I think the system is being rigged, so it's going to be a very unfair debate. And I can see it happening right now, because everyone's saying that he was soft on Trump. Well, now the new person's going to try and be really hard on Trump just to show, you know, the establishment what he can do. So I think it's very unfair what they're doing. So I think we should have a debate with no moderator, just Hillary and I sitting there talking.
So it's very unfair to do a debate the way debates have always been done, going back to Stephen Douglas and Abraham Lincoln, mm-hmm. or maybe back to the Greeks.
That's
There's
right.
probably a moderator then.
Socrates and Plato.
Are you kidding me?
In the placa.
Donnie, come here. Donnie, come here. Here, sit on my lap. Oh, no, I changed my mind. You're a little heavy. Donnie, who hurt you? Why are you so afraid? Everyone's not out to get you. You want to be president? We're just trying to get to the truth. Can you imagine a debate with no moderators? And by the way, these debates are voluntary. Don't be surprised if we get closer to this and Trump suddenly says, no, I'm not going to do it.
Is there a teeny part of you that would love to see that?
Who the hell knows?
No, because his whole thing is loud,
yeah.
being bigger and louder. You know, President Johnson did a lot of that because Johnson was 6 feet, 5 inches tall or whatever. So he'd tower over people. He'd invade your personal space. He'd lean into you. Trump's that guy. Symbolically and figuratively. Just shout down Hillary Clinton. I mean, he'd come off as a jackass, obviously. But he'd shout her down, and he wouldn't let her talk, and he'd keep interrupting her. You have to have a moderator.
Not according to Trump.
You know who's in the basket of deplorables? Those two. Hillary and Don.
Basket keeps getting bigger, doesn't it?
Well, I think it's just those two. It's Mary Vandeville time. And then, Mary, later in the program, you got to explain to me what happened to Ryan Lochte last night. Dude! Oh.
Yeah.
Ryan Lochte.
It was a very interesting show.
People rushed the stage. The review of Dancing with the Stars from Vandeville coming up, too.
What to see, what's out at the show. Oh, I need to know the place and when.
6:23 now.
But there's one guy on GN's Cochrane Show. And what he says will make us stay or go. He is Nick at Night. DiGiulio. He knows what shows are good, what's stinking. He's the only one who's in the know. I need to know what Nick is thinking.
Nick DiGiulio joins me now from his palatial west side estate. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you in your palatial west side of state?
It's palatial. It's got two doors and everything.
Excellent. Good for you. Did you see Sully?
I did, yes.
What did you think?
That was great. I really thought it was great. It made over $35 million over the weekend. It was the fifth biggest September opening, second week in September opening of all time. And I really, really suggest people see it in IMAX. I know that it's a few more bucks, but the entire film was shot in IMAX, not just certain scenes. A lot of people, you know, who end up going to see IMAX movies, it's usually just the big action sequences that are shot in the IMAX, and it's kind of distracting. But this entire film, Clint shot it. Clint Eastwood directed it, obviously. He shot it all in IMAX. It's the first time he's ever used that format, and he did a beautiful job with it.
What? But I don't understand how IMAX enhances conversation when a lot of this movie is conversation.
Yeah, I find it really distracting when I see a film in IMAX and only parts of it are in IMAX because the screen will suddenly be full.
So it's the consistency of it.
It cuts back and forth, yeah. And Clint's choice was to be consistent and film the entire thing in IMAX. And, of course, my thinking is, you know, Steve, that Clint works extraordinarily cheap. Like, he, you know, it's one take. It's like, okay, action, great, that's good, let's move on.
Yeah, because, you know, he's 85. He's going, cut, that's enough, let's go.
Yeah, not only that, but he wants to get in, you know, he wants to get in on the back nine by 4 p.m.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's like, so, you know, that's just his thing. But my thought was, you know, like, Clint usually makes longer films, you know, and like I was telling you on Thursday that I was shocked that this movie is an hour and a half long because based on a true story, big incident, directed by Clint Eastwood, starring Tom Hanks, you would expect a movie that was well over 2 hours.
Did the people on the plane live, or did he change the ending?
No. Everything is true.
Okay.
But my thinking is this. Clint being as, you know, as not a cheap filmmaker, but a frugal filmmaker, it's much more expensive to shoot in IMAX. It's a much more expensive process to shoot. The cameras are more expensive. The equipment is more expensive. So to shoot an IMAX on that level, I think he went, we're going 90 minutes and that's it.
Yeah, and why not?
Because he didn't want to spend the money.
Yeah.
And it's efficient filmmaking. I think it's one of Tom Hanks' best performances in a really long time. Aaron Eckhart is great in it. The sequences that involve, you know, the plane, the landing, and all that stuff are exciting and scary. It's a terrific, terrific movie. A really, really, really solid piece of work.
And what's the other, what is Other People?
Other People, we talked about briefly on Thursday. That's the film that's written and directed, first-time writer and director Chris Kelly, who is a writer on Saturday Night Live. A couple of years ago, he lost his mom to cancer, and this movie is about, it's a very autobiographical, like startlingly and shockingly autobiographical in terms of what he reveals here. In it, Jesse Clemens plays a guy who writes for Saturday Night Live and returns back to his home from New York to Sacramento because his mom, played by the great Molly Shannon, is dying of cancer. And it's about that year that he spends back with his family, back in Sacramento. His father doesn't approve of the fact that he's gay and has never acknowledged the fact that he was out, will not acknowledge his boyfriend. And he has a strange, you know, sort of a relationship that he doesn't know his younger sisters. And he goes back to help his mother, played by Molly Shannon. It is a beautiful movie. It's funny. I cried, you know, a ton of times. But I just want to say all the performances are so good in this movie, particularly Molly Shannon, who, I mean, I adore. And it's a supporting role. It's different than anything she's ever done before. And there has been sort of like awards buzz about this performance, and deservedly so. It's a terrific performance and a really moving movie that you know, it's funny, and then all of a sudden it's really dramatic. It's dramatic, and then it's really funny, and it walks that fine line throughout the entire running time. And I highly recommend it. It is playing at only one place in Chicago at Facets, but it is available on video on demand. And if you want to see a really touching, funny, very, very moving movie with great performances, check out Other People. It's on video on demand, and it's great.
Any TV you're watching?
Am I watching any TV? Well, yes. I am in love with Atlanta. The show on FX with Donald Glover. Have you seen it?
I'm not. No.
Oh, it's so good. It's hard to describe. It's not your average sitcom. It is real. It's funny. It's strange.
It's a guy from Scrubs?
No. Well, he was on Scrubs for a little bit, but he was mostly known for Community. He was on Community and was on a season of Girls. And this is his show. This is Donald Glover. He's not only the star, wrote and directed the pilot. And it is as, I think it's as edgy and as brilliant as anything you'll see on TV. And then on top of that, that's on FX on Tuesdays. On Thursdays, Pamela Adlon's new movie created by her and Louis C.K., or her show, is called Better Things. It's about her trying to raise her three daughters as a single mom. That's also great in a very Louis C.K. kind of way. And she's wonderful. She's been on Louis. She's been on Lucky Louie. She's, you know, they've been like comedy partners for a long time. So for me, the two best shows that I'm watching on TV right now are both on FX, Atlanta and Better Things.
Are you still hooked up to cable?
Yeah.
You thinking about unplugging?
Unplugging what? Cable?
Yeah.
What, are you kidding me? It's like life support for me.
Well, you can have both, you know. I mean, you can... It just seems like you're spending a lot of money. I'm just trying to help you out, man. That's all.
Yeah. No, well, I'm not spending money on Pearl Jam. I'm spending it on cable.
Okay, you're right. You're right.
By the way, my priorities, Steve.
By the way, I really do think I get a lot from my cable bill. I think I'm paying AT&T about $300 a month for a landline I don't use. And for the six channels I watch, it's about $50 a channel.
Well, I will say this. I mean, I'm with Comcast, and I do pay a lot of money. But I watch an unhealthy amount of television, Steve.
Yeah. Well, good for you.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's like, you know, what my cable bill became, you know, quite affordable once I quit drinking. Not only did I stop spending money on booze, but I spend more time watching TV because I don't go out drinking.
Well, you know what? I think it's a healthier choice.
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. I'll talk to you later.
Absolutely, my friend.
Big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show presents The Kid of the Week.
God bless the child.
Hey, you know a kid that goes above and beyond? Does something special for his family, his community? For his or herself? Any kid getting it done? That's what we want to know about. Go to WGNradio.com/contest to submit an entry for a child between 5 and 18. What you think ought to be Kid of the Week? Winner will be announced at the end of the show. Well, not at the end of the show, but it'll be announced at the end of the year. I don't think the show's going to end at the end of the year. Be an unfortunate development. Wait, I've got a new contract that starts in January. I guess we're not going to end at the end of the year, are we, Dave?
No, I don't think there are any plans to do that, I hope.
What an odd Freudian slip that was. Anyway, Kid of the Year. Dave and Mary Vandeveld will choose Kid of the Year because Andre and I don't want to. The 2016 Kid of the Year will be awarded a $5,000 prize courtesy of Ray Chevy in Fox Lake and Raymond Chevy in Antioch. See all the inventory at rayandraymonddeals.com and go to wgnradio.com/contest to submit your entry. Anytime about any special youngster like the one we're about to meet right now. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How about you?
All right, Matt, how are you? Sixth grader?
Eighth grader.
Eighth grader, I'm sorry. And Matt, what do you want to be when you grow up?
You know, I'm not too sure about that yet.
Oh, Matt, we need an answer. We must know.
Well, I would like to be a drummer. That'd be pretty cool.
Like a rock and roll drummer?
Yeah.
Who's your favorite band?
Blink-182.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting choice. Why do you like Blink-182?
Well, really like Travis Barker. Really like them in general.
Yeah. Give me a band that a Blink-182 fan would like that I wouldn't expect. Like, who else do you like?
I like the Foo Fighters a lot.
Okay.
They're a good band.
You like country music?
Not really. Not really.
How about R&B?
Sort of. A few songs.
Hip-hop? Rap?
Mm-hmm.
What rap do you like? Like what artist?
Like, not really one in particular. Just a few songs here and there.
What if we gave you, like, a rap name, like P. Matty?
I don't know.
Well, talk it over with your people. I'll get back to you.
How about Mixmaster Matt?
Yeah, it's a little
long.
It's not street enough for me. So, Matt, where do you go to school?
UCU Middle School.
Okay. And you feel great? You're healthy?
Yeah. Pretty good.
Because here's the deal. I believe it was when you were going into sixth grade at your back-to-school physical, you found out you had type 1 diabetes, right?
Yeah.
And were you feeling okay going into that, and they just found it by accident, or did you have some symptoms?
Well, like, looking back at it, I didn't really feel okay, but at the time I thought it was just, like a little cold, but now it was, like, yeah, I was very surprised. We found it by surprise, and it was really, really helpful.
And do you have a pump?
I do now, yes.
Yeah, which makes life a lot easier, right?
it makes everything so much easier. It's awesome.
Right. And you're following what your doctors tell you and all that?
Yeah.
Yeah, because that's the deal, right? As long as you listen to your doctors and your mom and dad and you take care of yourself, you're going to be fine.
Exactly.
Yeah. Who is Dr. Swami to you?
Doctor for JDRF.
That's exactly right. You've won nothing. Oh, yes, you have. Hold on. But the prizes will come later. Stand by here while we go to Dr. Swami. He's got some important information here, too. Good morning, doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Matt and I are just hanging out. Or as I like to call him, P-Matty.
Yeah, I like that. If you can come up with one for me, I'm happy to use it.
I think Swami's a pretty cool name to begin with. Yeah, I don't think you need anything other than that.
All right, good.
Where do you practice?
I'm at Lara Vita Children's Hospital in Hyde Park.
Oh, good for you.
And we have clinics in Joliet and Indiana, too, so I'm kind of a traveling show.
One of the reasons we wanted to have you guys on together is because this back-to-school physical thing that parents, a lot of times, it's nobody's fault, everybody's busy, but parents go, oh, now I got to do a back-to-school physical, and I got to get them here, and I got to go through this, and they're not going to find anything, and la da 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 da. And if not for the back-to-school physical, maybe we don't find out what's going on with Matt quickly enough, and he gets into some trouble.
Right. Yeah, I think that's one of the ways that kids are detected, and I think Matt had that experience, which I'm glad that we do these, because otherwise we wouldn't see these kids except once a year, but often it's just general public education. These kids will present with symptoms, go to their doctor, they contact us, and then, you know, we diagnose them with diabetes and treat them appropriately.
What should parents look for?
Sure. So typical signs are urinating a lot, drinking a lot, weight loss without trying. So some people, you know, will say, oh, you look great, you lost weight. And I tell people, you know, not to always think that's a good thing. Depends on whether the kid's actually trying and changing their lifestyle or just randomly losing weight. And urinating at night when previously you were dry or didn't have to are typical signs. And also in girls, we will see more infections down below. We'll see skin infections in kids in general, fatigue, lack of school performance that, you know, if they previously did well, they start to decline.
Sure.
So all of those put together generally was what we see.
Is there anything in your life, Maddie, that or Matt, sorry, buddy, that you feel like you can't do?
There's really nothing without, like, be just handling diabetes along with it. You can pretty much do anything.
Love your attitude, buddy. And do your friends ask you about it, or is it just part of, you know, they just go, no, it's Matt, he's fine. There's nothing different about Matt.
I mean, they can pretty much notice now if I'm high or low, so that's pretty cool. But they'll always ask if I'm good to do stuff, so that's pretty nice.
So you don't need, like, a diabetic dog necessarily, because your friends just hang out all the day and go, there he goes, he's good.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, yeah.
All right. Well, listen, you're an inspiration, but I love your attitude. Keep that great attitude up. And Dr. Anita, there's a walk on a visit walk.jdrf.org. It's the JDRF One Walk, right?
Yes. I actually have a few things to tell you guys about. So JDRF had some great resources in general to educate parents and schools as well. And One Walk is a way for parents to connect with one another. If you actually want to learn more, you can just go to jdrf.org. They also have back to school toolkits, also at the same site. And, one of the things they asked us is just maybe some tips. And, there's also information online about what kind of school plans you can have. There's differences between a diabetes medical management plan and a 504 plan, which is more detailed and involves the parents or caregivers meeting with the school to really set accommodations. So I encourage parents, whenever a kid is diagnosed, to go ahead and educate themselves, get the process rolling, talk to their provider, and then have a sit-down meeting with the school. Our institution also has a school nurse training program that's October 26th at Lara Vita, and people can contact us for more information. And I think the biggest thing is just to get exposure and knowledge. So there's a lot of local groups as well who are Facebook groups or other groups that our patients have started or parents to really work together to make this successful. And then day to day, I think they just need to create an ongoing dialogue between all the parties so that it's not a one and done. You have one school plan and one school year, but you say, you know, is it working for me to have gym before lunch? Probably not, because then I'll have a low blood sugar. So let's see if I can change that time period. And to make sure you bring as many supplies as possible to the school, because I can't tell you how many times schools call and they don't have the necessary supplies to treat the kids. So it's really on us to educate parents about that, and for parents to bring all of the necessary supplies for at least a couple of days, including medications, test strips, treatment for low sugars, and really just proactively setting the child's schedule to be successful and do well in school and not be pulled out constantly due to issues related to their diabetes.
And parents and kids dealing with this, there are no stupid questions. So, make a list whenever you think of them throughout the day and ask your healthcare provider and ask them again and get your answers as you push forward on this.
Absolutely. And I think it's good to have a big team. It takes a village. And we are fortunate that we have social workers and psychologists. It's not just about your doctor. It's really the entire team. And that team involves the parents and wonderful kids like Matt.
You got any kids or any of your friends coming out to the walk, Matt?
Yeah. I have a lot of friends coming out. It's going to be a great time, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Visit walk.jdrf.org. You're not married, are you, Matt?
Not yet. I got a few.
Okay.
A few.
Got a couple years.
Yeah.
You have a girlfriend?
No.
You got any buddies you want to say hi to? You got any teachers you want to suck up to?
No, not right now.
All right. So just hi to everyone at your school.
Yes.
And what was that school again?
Eastview Middle School.
Yeah. Best middle school ever?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right, done. What's your first class today?
My first class today is band. It's also my favorite.
What do you play?
Along with drumming, I do like the percussion in the band.
So what do you drum, and what else do you do?
Percussion in the band. So like,
oh, yeah, but what percussion? You bang stuff together? What do you do?
Like timpanis, marimbas.
Mm. Do you know what those are?
Yeah, timpanis and
marimbas.
Rimbas.
No, marimbas.
I'm a lead. What do you want?
How fun is that? I love drummers.
Yeah. Hey, easy.
I know.
Matt said he's not ready to get married.
I know.
Sorry, Matt. She's very pushy. Matt, Dr. Swamy, thank you very much. And, Doctor, keep up the great work. And hi to everybody at the hospital. I love what you guys do.
Thank you very much.
All right.
Have a wonderful day.
That's P. Matty and Swamy. Yeah.
Come on. I still like Mixmaster Matt. Although he's a drummer, so he's got to have more of a hard rock kind of a name.
Yeah, I think probably, yeah. All right, hold on, buddy. And here you go. We got prizes. Volvo Auto Museum. People who know Volvo for their collection of the 400 vintage cars that span from the early 1900s all the way through the 70s. Get more information at volocars.com, an app gift card pleasing people since 1936. Visit their store in Glenview or online at abt.com, and a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. 40 Chicagoland locations and more. Order online at loumelnattis.com.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
The Wang Dang Doodle.
Why is that one funnier? It just is. 7-Eleven, the Wang Dang Doodle for you new listeners. And thank you for listening to the show, whether you've been here a while or you're new to the show. The Wang Dang Doodle is the annual illegal NFL football betting scam that we run here at the radio station. What?
It's not illegal. There's no money changing hands that we know of.
Oh, yeah, right.
Wink, wink, nod, nod. Say no more, Bookie Dave. All right, so let's go to our accountant for the Wang Dang Doodle. That would be Mary Sandberg. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good.
And I notice you have your accountant hat on. You've got your little adding machine.
Mm-hmm.
From bottom to top, give us the standings after week one.
Well, I would like to point out that this is not an individual contest here at the Steve Cochran Show. It is the do cares versus the don't cares.
Well, it's both, right? Because we're going to have an individual winner at the end of the year. The don't care team is you and whom?
It is captained by Mary Vandeveld.
Mm-hmm.
It is myself, Mary, Steve Grzanich, Bennett Wakenight, and John DeCoste.
And Bennett doesn't care to the extent he's not even here today. He's out of town.
Correct. Yeah. He's camping in California, which seems horrible to me.
Captain, how do you think your team did?
I have big confidence in my team.
Now, did these teams play today?
We did all our research.
Did these teams play?
Yesterday. Oh, that's cute.
Except Steve, of course.
That's sweet.
Steve, be quiet.
The Duke cares are captained by legendary Chicago sports figure and sports director Dave Ennett, who's yawning while I describe him.
I said that had nothing to do with what you were saying. And, I'm just a little sleepy.
It would be Mike, Jake, Jacobson, Andre, and me.
And Ann Cochran.
Oh, and my mom.
Yeah, your mom.
And then we have a random.
And we're going to have Mom on, but she's on with Steve Harvey right now.
That's right. Yeah. And listener John is his own team.
Right. The listeners are a separate team. All right. Now, do the standings.
Yes.
So the standings. The Do Cares won.
Yes.
But not by much. They had a total of 782 versus the Don't Cares, who had a total of 691.
Oh, okay. Nice job.
Let's keep it. Let's keep track of week wins as well, of the total for the year.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the individual standings from bottom to top?
Bottom to top. So to remind the listeners, you got a quarterback rating points.
Mm-hmm.
You got points for either pick if you picked the win.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got points based on
the
win
differential. I mean, closest to the actual score.
Yes. So in 10th place, we had Steve Grzanich.
Oh, what a shocker.
All right.
With 88 points, which, hey, you're on the board.
Way to go, team.
Okay.
In 9th place, we have Bennett Wakenight, who's camping in California.
How many do you have?
121 points.
Okay, Steve, you got a lot of making up to do. Steve, think of your deficit right now between 10th and 9th as a giant slice of cake.
Steve and Bennett are the only two that did not pick the win. Hmm. They didn't have the right team.
Now, did they play again Saturday? Or it's Sunday or Saturday?
Generally speaking, it's Sunday, Monday, but there is a Thursday game as well that some teams participate in. Football. Number eight?
8th place, also on the Don't Cares, John DeCoste with 133 points.
I can't tell you how amusing it is that John DeCoste is higher than Bennett and
right.
And Grzanich.
And in 7th place, I have to hop over to the Do Cares team.
Yes.
And Mr. Dave Ennett comes in with 134 points.
In 7th place?
Way to go, Capitan.
You have a Don't Care that
Let me tell you something. See if this sounds familiar. I'm the captain now.
Yeah.
All right. Really? And the other loudest person in the room right now, Andrea, is at 6th place with 136 points.
What was the difference there in points?
You had 134. Andrea has 136.
Wow. She killed me by 2 points.
2 points, baby.
Oh, you guys are competitive.
I do have a question.
Yes, go ahead.
No, this is legit. And you're on my team, so you should appreciate
the commissioner's not.
We don't really have time for questions right now.
If your Senator quarterback took a bad beating and was the subject of many a sport and news stories, just hypothetically speaking, plays are in call, do you get more points for that?
No. Fifth place?
Fifth place is also on the Do Cares, Mr. Mike Jacobson with 149 points.
Good. Yeah. Nice week. Fourth place?
Fourth place would be myself, Mary Sandberg Boyle, with 174 points.
I don't think you mentioned my mom or me yet.
Hmm.
Third place.
Third place would be the captain of the Don't Cares, Mary Vandeveld, with 175 points.
Woohoo!
Look at that. You know what? You say the old bookie doesn't fall far from the tree. It's either my mom or me in first place.
Look at that.
Second place?
I really should be in second place. But, I mean, I don't like this scoring system.
Or the fact that you guys got to pick the top five quarterbacks
Number two?
Place is Ann Cochran with 180 points. And
Ann
Steve
Summers,
Cochran.
By the way, but that's fine.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
Ann Summers Cochran.
Yes, yes. And number one?
Steve Cochran with 183.
Yeah, so our captain's in first place.
Woo! I'm tired, Dave. I'm tired of being a captain. Will you take the captain back?
Well, do we have to vote?
No. You're the captain. You're the captain now.
But our team is in first place.
Yeah, barely. Not
bad. Number one. Right.
Long way to go. Let's not get overconfident. Take them one at a time.
We get to pick first next week.
Yeah, no, I don't see that happening.
I think so.
It's 7:17. Let's get traffic from Mary, the captain of the Don't Cares. And we'll get Senator Durbin on here in just a few minutes. Seven 7:21, Senator Durbin standing by, joining us from Washington. And I wanted to get an update on the ITT story. Senator Durbin and Lisa Madigan had a press conference last week about this. But if you're a parent, these for-profit schools continue to fall like dominoes. And what other options do you have? And are you going to get any of your money back and so on? Good morning, Senator. How are you? Well, thought she had him. There we go. Sorry, that was my fault. Good morning, sir.
How you doing, Steve?
Doing fine. How are you?
Good.
All right. So what do we know about the ITT mess?
Follow the money. Taxpayers pay their taxes. The money goes into the Treasury. We then loan the money to the students who use it to go to school. If the students default on their loans and fail to pay back to the Treasury, ultimately the taxpayers are left holding the bag. What happens when a school goes out of business? We give the students the option, if they've been defrauded or been in this school, to walk away from their credit hours and walk away from their student debt. I think that's fair. I think that's right. But ultimately, it means that the taxpayers lose the money. The people at ITT Tech are taking out fat salaries until they go bankrupt. So if you look at it from the viewpoint of taxpayers, students, and families, this industry, this for-profit college and university industry, is really a fraud on the public. And now this one, ITT Tech, is the latest to go down. About 35,000 students nationwide, about 750 in the state of Illinois.
So where does that leave us in regards to holding the bag? I mean, how much debt are we talking about?
$1 billion, roughly. And Corinthian, which went down a few months back, another $1 billion. Bridgepoint is another for-profit college and university. They sponsored something called Ashford University, a thinly veiled fraud on the public. And it is now struggling because no state wants to call it as their home. They bought a campus of Franciscan University in a small town in Iowa and declared this is going to be the Ashford University campus forever and ever. They just closed it. Iowa said, we don't want you to do business in our state. California said the same. They can't find a home. So it appears that, the chains are rattling, and it looks pretty scary for Bridgepoint. Ultimately, again, it'll be the same story. Students, families, taxpayers will be the losers.
Is this scourge going on in other companies coast to coast?
Yes, in virtually the entire industry. Now, there are exceptions. There are some schools, some courses that are worthwhile. But overall, America would be better off if the for-profit college and university industry closed. Let me tell you why I say that. 10% of high school students go to for-profit colleges and universities. 20% of the federal aid education goes to these schools because their tuition is so darned expensive. But here's the kicker. 40% of all student loan defaults are students from for-profit colleges and universities. The tuitions are outrageous. Students drop out. When they end up so-called graduating, they can't find a job. Almost 3 out of 4 of for-profit college and university graduates earn less money than high school dropouts. It is a complete waste of federal tax dollars.
So, Senator, is there any relief at all for taxpayers? Is there like an FDIC for for-profit colleges that could perhaps help with some of this burden?
Consumer Financial Protection Bureau just nailed one of these schools in fraud and accused them of predatory lending, this bridge point that I mentioned earlier. So some agencies are policing them. But the buck stops at the U.S. Department of Education. They have got to stop accrediting these schools. They are not real colleges and universities.
Well, what power do you guys have in Congress to shut this down?
We have the power to do it today and tomorrow. And
so who's fighting that idea?
Why don't we? Because they have friends in high places, Steve. They have friends in both parties. I mean, this is a bipartisan scandal as far as I'm concerned. We need to speak up and stand up for these students who are being misled into signing up to these schools that are virtually worthless.
Well, we know that student tuition debt in this country is a bigger bubble than the housing debt that could have collapsed the economy in 2007. How do your colleagues not see this as a crisis?
They should. I'm afraid some of them don't, but many of them are beginning to step up. Some conservative Republicans are now saying, wait a minute, if 90% of the revenue from this so-called for-profit private company is coming from the federal treasury, this is the most heavily subsidized company in America. Why in the world are we allowing this to happen? Well, as I said, they hire lobbyists, they hire representatives, and sadly, the public pays the price. Both taxpayers and the students. I wrote a letter to every high school principal in Illinois last year, and again, the year before and last year, and said, please, before these students go to high school graduation, tell them there's a world of difference between a community college, a city college, and one of these for-profit colleges. It give an example. A computer course, a course for an associate degree at ITT Tech, costs $47,000 in tuition for a two-year course. $47,000 at ITT Tech. If you went to the local city college or community college, less than $7,000. These poor students are burdened with debt they'll never be able to pay back.
Yeah, and the fact is, I don't blame the students, certainly, but I don't blame the parents either, because I went through this a couple of times. Everybody listening has gone through this. You don't know what you're doing when you first go out and start looking at schools and looking at ways to finance it. So I understand how people could be taken in by this, but it's a con.
It's a scam, and I will tell you, many of these students are first generation. Their parents have no life experience with colleges and universities. And secondly, they, as the parents and students, rightly assume that, wait a minute, if I can get a federal loan and a federal Pell Grant to go to this school, it must be a real school.
Right.
And you can't blame them. I mean, we've got to do a much better job in policing the ranks of these schools.
Department of Education hearing this message?
They are. They're starting to come alive and awake. And
but is this Washington speed or real people speed?
Well, they're catching on, particularly the group that's leaving the Department of Education at the end of this presidency. They have finally awakened to the fact that they are going to have to answer some hard questions about how they allowed this to continue for so long. They've done some good things. I'm pushing them to do more.
The AGs around the country, including Lisa Madigan, who are outraged by this, do they have any power to make some noise about this?
Boy, they sure do. And let me, hats off to Lisa. She's been, Lisa Madigan, she's been my friend and colleague and partner in this effort. She's been blowing the whistle on these schools. Westwood, you used to drive out to O'Hare and look at those buildings with the signs up on top. There used to be Westwood University, a complete scam. Thanks to her, it's gone. And the students who were exploited by it, frankly, their ranks aren't going to be increased. But Lisa's done a great job. In state after state, attorneys general, both political parties are stepping up and blowing the whistle. We need a more concerted effort in Washington.
And last word, Andrea?
Yeah, she was on with us last week, Senator, and saying that this is not the end of the world for students who are enrolled there. There are other schools courting them now, and they have other options, including Upper Iowa and I think Waukesha County Tech, too.
Well, I can tell you what's happened. The community colleges are stepping up, thank goodness, all across our state, to sit down with these students and counsel them, see if there's some education they've received that's worth transferring, and they can put them on the course for an associate's degree or whatever it might be. They're doing their part. More and more students, if you're not sure where you're going, start at the city college. Start at the community college. While you're making up your mind, you're not incurring massive debt that you might not be able to repay.
It's 7:29. I know you have to run, but let's do this again as soon as possible because I want to know what's going on with Zika and also, obviously, with this ridiculous presidential campaign.
Happy to join you again.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
Bye-bye.
That's Senator Durbin. The bulk of that time spent for obvious reasons on ITT because we got more information from Senator Durbin in those 10 minutes than we've had since the phone call from Lisa Madigan because this is how upside down everything is. How much of the media cycle has been spent talking about Hillary's pneumonia and Trump's whatever? And this is stuff that is affecting everybody. And by the way, you don't even have to, I don't have a kid in college anymore. You don't have to have a kid in college to be affected by this because our broke-ass state is going to pay the toll for these colleges that have been allowed to run.
Right. I literally just got an email. Milwaukee Area Technical College also hosting a special session for students affected too. So is Madison and the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. So not very far.
And thanks for stepping up, as you said. Do you ever notice how people make a decision and rationalize it later? Let's face it, a car can be an emotional choice. Take the all-new Chevy Malibu. That car is a masterpiece, a work of technological art. You can get 16% off MSRP right now. That's a big number. And $4,400 cash in your pocket. But don't think about it. You're driving a car with more computer power than the rocket we sent to the moon. And no, I'm not kidding. 4G LTE Wi-Fi that turns your car into a mobile hotspot, connects up to 7 devices, lane change alert and more, rear vision camera. As a matter of fact, braking assistance as well. You know, the car practically drives itself. Beauty and brains. You like that, don't you? The Chevy Malibu, the complete package with over $4,400 cash. It's icing on the cake. You only have until September 30th to close the deal. So head to your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer. Log on to ChevyDriveChicago.com. Find out why Chevy is the number one best-selling brand in Chicagoland. 5 years running. It's a match made in heaven. Big story? Now or in a moment? In a moment? In a moment on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
WGN Radio is the sound of Chicago.
720 WGN.
Wish there was a place called Thunder Island. That'd be cool. Well, it reminds me, Rand Lochte got rushed last night. And I don't mean he had to dance faster. Let's go live now to the seventh floor where Mary Vanderbilt is forced to watch all of the reality TV.
I watched it really quickly last night. Let me tell you.
All right.
Cubs game is on, too.
So let's go with the big story first, because all of America is deeply concerned about Ryan Lochte's health. Is he okay after the protest last night?
Oh, he's fine. They had a couple protesters. Yeah, I guess they rushed at him, but they didn't show it at all because, the camera was on Carrie Ananaba because she was doing her critique.
Well, good for ABC.
And she just kept saying, back off, back off. And we're like, who is she talking to? And she didn't continue. And
well, let's listen. This is the clip from last night.
Swimming is a... Excuse me. Hey, back off. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me. Excuse me.
Off. All right.
Excuse me.
Wow. Okay. I'll tell you what. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get the rest of the judges' comments. Take a deep breath. We'll be right back.
Nice job by Bergeron.
You know, Bergeron is always right there. Right. That guy he's awesome. He's always on his toes. So he called for the break. They returned. Then he thanked security for staying in shape.
I don't understand what the protest was.
There were some video. It was two men.
Yeah, and they had T-shirts on that said with
no
a red
Lochte.
Circle, no Lochte.
There was somebody.
Are they from Rio?
No, the video is circulating now this morning. Somebody in the crowd was shooting it, so you actually saw them. It was while he was being judged.
Yes.
And so then they didn't throw anything toward him as was previously
well,
reported.
I saw the security guy took out the older guy.
Yeah, he took him down.
But no, the younger guy he took down.
Yeah.
The older guy, he just went, okay, I'll leave. They just grabbed him. It wasn't like there was some grave danger.
Well, they
going
knew
in.
They were
going
to be taken. And then there were, I guess, four women that were also there with the same thing. And Derek Huff came out, one of the dancers, and he's like, okay, security, get them out too. Because they were yelling stuff. So he took these four women out too as well.
Oh, then they were all anti-Lochte?
Yeah.
Dude, why is everybody so upset?
But, you know, he looked good. He had his hair. His hair was a normal color
right.
And kind of backed. And
right.
He did the foxtrot. And
right.
He said, thanks for giving me a second chance, blah, blah, blah. And he wasn't as bad as I expected him to be. But, he needs some work. As Bruno said, his limbs are not used
he got
to
some,
dry land. They're not used to dry land.
He got some pretty good support from Calvin Johnson and Vanilla Ice afterward, who told him, shake it off. There's
yeah,
always going to be
fine.
There's always going to be the
bro.
Haters out there. Yeah. So they
we actually have Ryan Lochte here with us.
Oh, good.
He's
good.
Just flown in. Let me go live
okay.
to Ryan. Now, Ryan, are you okay?
I mean, it wasn't like my best performance, bro, but, we were chilling, chillaxing.
You were chillaxing?
Chillaxing.
Okay. Did you know the people that came to attack you?
No, they weren't that friendly.
Yeah.
I put out my hand. I was like, what's up, bro? And they didn't shake it back.
Did you see their shirts? Their shirts said no Lochte.
Oh, really?
Yeah, do you know what that means?
No.
All right, then. That's Ryan Lochte live on the Steve Cochran Show.
Cheer.
All right, so.
Get back to practicing.
So who did you like?
Well, I got to say, Lori Hernandez is number one. She's the gymnast, and they've got to stop bringing in the gymnasts. This has got to end because they're a shoo-in. They're awesome. They have all the flexibility.
Well,
they have all the
gymnasts
dance experience.
Won?
Well, Shawn Johnson won. There were there's been about four or five gymnasts on the show already. Ellie Reisman was on.
Did she win?
She came in the top four, I believe.
Okay.
And then Nastia Lukin was on. Gabby Douglas was on. And they're all good. And everybody
so you
knows
think it's
it.
Unfair.
I think it's unfair. They should
field.
Not have figure skaters or gymnasts on because
right.
they're all trained in ballet and they all have great balance and flexibility.
Yeah, Meryl won that one year with Max.
Yeah, Meryl.
She's a figure skater.
Figure skater.
I would like to see one season of just white dads at weddings they
yeah.
didn't want to go to.
You know what I thought was really good? Vanilla Ice.
He was not.
Oh, he was awesome.
Oh, but
he was great. He got one of the highest scores.
He didn't do the cha-cha like he was supposed to. He was just rapping around.
Yeah, but it was the first dance.
But you know who was
good?
You know who was really good? That
plink,
James.
Plink.
Do you know who James Hinchcliffe
oh,
is?
Oh, yeah, my guy.
Yeah, the race driver.
Yeah.
That's who I have in the
yeah.
pool.
He's
yeah.
actually very good.
Was he good?
Yeah.
He was very good.
A little
okay.
stiff in the upper body,
he was wearing
but he's
a,
good.
Who
a
isn't?
Teal tuxedo and teal-colored shoes. You would have loved those.
And
ones.
Mary Lou
was
fantastic.
He is funny. He's cool.
You didn't like Mary Lou, though.
I liked Mary Lou.
Oh, my God. If I could slap her through the television, she is going to be the most annoying person this entire season. She's like a... She's like an overzealous cheerleader.
Yeah, well, but she's too also, excited about it.
But she's, I mean, everybody. 64 years old.
But
she's excited to be
involved. She did the fastest dance, I'll have you know. She did the jive, and she is, what, 64? Whatever.
Yeah.
She did awesome for that. And then Maureen McCormick, oh, boy.
Not good?
She's another one who's going to be whiny
Marcia,
the whole time.
How'd Governor Rick do?
Oh, boy.
He was terrible.
Not good?
Not good.
First off?
So bad.
He'll be the first off, I think, or what do you think, Andrea? Maybe that Jake T. Austin kid?
Yeah, I think
he's
you're right.
He's annoying, too.
I think you're right. I think Perry will go first, though, Mayor, because,
yeah.
And he was so weird. And I know he's our friend. I know he was on the program, and he was all excited about it.
I wouldn't say our friend, but
he's so quirky. He finished his routine, and normally people walk over to the judges and are a little humble.
Yeah.
And he's going, how about that? How about that? What'd you think? What'd you think?
He's
like pounding on his chest.
He had a lot of energy.
No, he's always campaigning.
Really?
How about the country singer that gets married every 10 minutes?
Oh, Jana Kramer?
Yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
She was...
She's like 30. She just got separated.
Well, you should have seen the dance she did. Ooh.
Oh, was it good?
Well, you got to see it. It was extremely...
Provocative?
Provocative.
She's very attractive.
She was with this guy named Gleb. G-L-E-B.
Oh, yeah, he's
a
little hottie.
I don't know.
Gleb is a little hottie.
That's a name?
Yes, his name is Gleb.
His name is Gleb. Where's he from? What planet?
I don't know.
Kind of a name is Gleb.
Is he Russian? He may be Russian.
I think he's Bosnian. He's so cute.
Yeah, he's
What's it short for?
Man,
Glebathan?
The two of them together? Whoa.
It's Gleb Savchenko.
I'm sure it is.
Gleb Savchenko.
He's Russian.
That's the problem. Does Trump know him?
He's very sexy. Whoa. But anyway, they're going to be two to watch. They weren't too bad. And Amber Rose, what a booty going on her.
Oh, my God. How about that?
I understand most of the dancers actually danced on her booty.
You could have put a lot of things on that booty.
Yeah.
She makes Kim Kardashian look petite.
How does a woman like that walk in heels, right, when you got everything up front and everything in the back?
Heels? How does she
balance
walk, period?
It off?
I don't
It's unique.
She is. Unique. Yeah, and she's with Max, and Max just goes, hello.
So the big moment was Ryan Lochte getting rushed, and last night they didn't judge anybody last night, did they? I mean, anybody off?
The judges judged. No, they won't get booted off till speaking of booties, till Tuesday of next week.
Yeah,
I believe.
Tuesday. Yeah.
Tuesday,
right.
Maybe Tuesday and Wednesday. Right. Not sure.
There's your Dancing with the Stars review. Let me go back to Ryan Lochte for a second. Ryan, you going to come back next week?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. What?
Yeah.
Did you say yes or no?
Yeah.
I thought we were done with Dancing with the Stars, Mayor, but I have a couple other things about the show to share with you from Mental Floss. There's a whole list at mentalfloss.com of things you don't know about Dancing with the Stars, but here's a few of them. You know the youngest person ever to win the Mirrorball Trophy?
Sean Johnson.
That's exactly right, 17 years old. How about the oldest?
I know. Donny Osmond.
Oh, look at you. Donny was 50.
Mm-hmm.
Kate Goslin was so annoying when she danced that her partner claimed he needed therapy.
Was it Tony?
Tony.
Tony Davilani?
Davilani, yeah.
He's a hottie, too.
He's not on the show this year.
The celebrities are paid fairly well. More than one celebrity contestant cited the $125,000 base salary for appearing on the show.
No.
As a reason. So they get $125,000 to show up, and every week you stay on, the number goes up.
No wonder Lochte wants to do it.
He needs the money after blowing all that endorsement down.
Yep.
Bindi Irwin won last year. Supposedly is going to get $360,000 to $400,000 in base pay from the show, along with endorsements and different things.
She's great.
However, she was considered a minor in the Australian court system, is now keeping her money from being paid out in the manner it is supposed to be paid out because she was 17 and therefore needed her parents to sign off on the contract and stipulates that she doesn't touch her money. Now, Bindi's mom, Terry, signed on the dotted line, but it didn't have her father's signature, which would be tough because Steve died. The courts are trying to figure out what to do now. This can't be the first time they've dealt with some kid with money with a parent that's not alive.
Right. Hopefully she'll get it. She deserved it. She was great.
Oh, yeah. And I thought she talked about charities, too. I thought she was saying with some of the money. I heard that somewhere.
Oh, was that part of it, too?
Could be. She's big into that.
The show sparked a number of love connections. Karina Smirnoff dated Mario Lopez for 2 years. And later got engaged to Maxim Chernofsky.
Mm-hmm.
Who's now marrying PETA.
Oh, who's now marrying one of the other dancers, PETA Murgatroyd?
Yeah, can't be a baby, yeah.
Annoyed. No, it is.
Baby.
She actually, wasn't she in here? Or she was on the phone with us?
PETA?
No, yeah. Max was in. PETA. No, PETA wasn't.
PETA was on the phone with us, I
guess. We had a couple of the dancers in, though. Oh, I don't remember which ones.
Max. How can you forget? I got dipped by Max.
And you can, yes, you did.
So
yes.
Did I.
Yeah, you both did.
Woohoo.
The show has released a hand of branded instructional and exercise videos like cardio dance for weight loss, and dance off the pounds, where they teach you how to do the dances that are on Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, I could never do that. By the way, you know, another crazy story that came out of it. So Max was paired with Kirstie Alley, who's, as we know, Scientology, and he made some sort of a comment about her. So he got a letter from the Church of Scientology saying you're not to talk with her, be friends with her, or contact her anymore because you've been basically defriended in real life.
Yeah, and the Church of Scientology then had Max killed. No, but they'd like to. All right, now completely shifting gears here. One thing from last night's Monday Night Football we haven't gotten to yet. The Rams-Niners game had some knucklehead run on the field. This is a great call. I love this. Here's Kevin Harlan doing the radio call of a guy running on the field last night on Monday Night Football.
Hey, somebody has run out on the field. Some goofball in a hat and a red shirt. Now he takes off the shirt. He's running down the middle by the 50. He's at the 30. He's bare-chested and banging his chest. Now he runs the opposite way. He runs at the 50. He runs at the 40. The guy is drunk, but there he goes. The 20. They're chasing him. They're not going to get him. Waving his arms. Bare-chested. Somebody stop
Look
that
out.
Man.
Here comes the blue coat, Kevin.
Oh, they got him.
Here comes
coming
the blue
from
coat.
The left. Oh, and they tackle him at the 40-yard line.
Oh, that was the most exciting thing to happen tonight.
I tell you what, he got a whole lap in
he
before
did,
they
yes.
got him. I mean, that was pretty good. I expected him to go down much sooner.
Yeah. But I hope it was worth it, my friend, because you've got a night in the clink coming up.
Kevin Harlan, how great is
Excellent.
That, David?
Excellent.
Awesome.
That
yeah,
see, that's
tremendous.
What Tom, what's the guy on Dancing with the Stars should have done.
Bergeron.
Yeah.
They've got the protesters. They're taking them out.
Right?
Yeah,
that's tremendous.
Instead of Carrie Ananaba. Excuse me.
Storming
excuse
the
me.
Stage.
That's tremendous.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Kiss me good.
8:11, Dean Richards live at Channel 9. Is tomorrow night the primetime thing?
You betcha.
Excited?
7 to 9 p.m.
Okay.
Here's the rundown. We'll be here tomorrow morning doing the show.
Yep.
The TV morning show as always.
Right.
And then we'll go home for 10 minutes
mm-hmm.
and then come back and do the primetime special.
What's call time for the night show?
Well, they haven't really said. They probably should get a little structure.
I think. I wouldn't leave it up to you guys to just show up whenever.
We are not exactly
You're
the
a band
most...
of drifters and thugs and ne'er-do-wells.
Not the most disciplined group
no.
of professionals. But the show will start at 7. So I imagine Larry, Robin, Paul be here, you know, 5 minutes to 7, something like that.
I understand Robin's opening the show with, "If they could see me now."
You will hear Robin singing on the show.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I will tell you that. I don't want to give away too much of what's going on. Mostly because we have really very little planned.
That should be great for television sales because it'll be cracking TV screens all over the Chicagoland area.
Apt is very excited.
Right, they're sponsoring Robin's singing.
Apt is sponsoring the show now that they know that Robin is going to be singing and most TV sets will be blown out as a result of
Yesterday,
that.
Paul Conrad? Are you familiar with him?
I am, yes.
Yeah. Yesterday, Paul Conrad told us that the only thing he was aware of that was completely locked in and booked for the show was some cat act.
You're right.
The Rockats, I think, is what it was.
Acrocats?
Acrocats, is that what it is?
It's amazing, Steve.
Yeah. If that's all you have for 2 hours, I mean, I'd sort of be tempted to watch just to see it crash and burn.
It's good. I don't think it's going to crash and burn, but I will.
It is if your Rockats are your only thing.
Speak for yourself. You haven't seen how entertaining these cats are.
No.
Hey, you try sitting there and licking yourself for a full hour.
Well, if I do, I'm not going to have a camera involved.
Dean, we don't want to watch that.
For a change.
All right, now let me ask you this: Are the youngsters from the early show involved?
Yeah, everybody.
So you got Ponce?
We got the Dan Ponce. We got the Lourdes Duarte.
Yeah,
we've got the Marcus.
Oh, we love Lourdes.
Yeah. Well, I know you. You're a little obsessive, honestly.
No. We're just big career supporters.
She's a sweetheart. We've got Demetrius, Ivory, and Aaron, his lovely wife, Aaron McElroy. I'm sure they'll bring their babies. You know, the babies are a hit.
They got like 48 kids now, don't they?
No, they have two. They have twins that are 6 months old today.
But she has two other children, too.
Oh, she does have children from a previous marriage. That's true. Right. So that may be 48. But here's the thing.
Did you catch that little pat on the head Dean gave me there? Yeah, it may be 48.
Yeah, whatever you say, Steve.
Yeah.
You got kitty cats. Uh-huh. You got babies.
Uh-huh.
You don't. What else do you need?
Are they bringing the kids to the show?
I'm not sure, but now that I've said it out loud, I think it's a fantastic idea.
Right.
Yeah, you know, if we can pander to, you know, people ooing and eyeing over adorable, you know, these are unbelievably cute children also.
Well, I'm sure. Well, the parents are beautiful. Why not? Right.
They're both very handsome people. So, you know, maybe we do like a half an hour with the babies. And
right.
Like an hour and a half with the kitty cats.
Exclusive interview with the 6-month-olds.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It sounds like a well planned out show.
It's going to be something like you've never seen before. That's all I'll say.
Now there's
I'll just say from my department, you know, I've got contacts with all the A-listers,
right?
And I've talked to dozens of them,
and none of them are doing the show
about this show. So far, I've been turned down by all of them, but really, we have right up until about 6:55 tomorrow to lock somebody in.
It's the WJM Morning News Primetime Special. It's tomorrow night at 7 o'clock on Channel 9. Nobody asked us to promote this, but I think, Dean, you and I could agree this has been a heck of a promotion for it.
Oh, really? More than anything we've had anywhere else?
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Kind of feel bad we weren't asked to be a part of it, though, Steve. We could have been, you know, some sort of a sketch.
I got to be honest with you. I am used to not being asked by Channel 9 to do anything.
I'll be there.
I could schedule a whole sketch on our makeup.
I'm going to be there anyway. Okay. So, you know.
Oh, Dave got invited.
Dave will be in the newsroom. I wouldn't let him in. You should have Dave come in and do something sportsy.
A little, a cameo.
Yeah.
Sports cameo.
Just a walk on.
Hey, Dave, can you bring Dwayne Wade?
That'd be great.
Bring Dwayne. Well, I can try.
Pick him up. You know where he lives. Like, go by his house.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I think he might need some advance notice.
How funny would that be if you, like, in a shot, we go from the kitty cats, from the babies to the kitty cats, and Dave bringing in the gigantic Dwayne Wade into the studio and just setting him down.
Boy, there's an Ebony and Ivory remake in there.
Or Dave at Dwayne Wade's gate and him saying, no one's here.
It just seems like such a strange request.
Oh, I don't think so.
No,
I think it makes perfect sense.
Yeah, he's a Chicagoan now.
Now you guys, last thing about this, you guys aren't going to play any best of clips from the morning show as some cheap way out to fill the event time.
No, that would no.
Okay,
all original programming.
No.
As you kids can see, if you're going to get a career in television, you better do the work. You better be prepared to do the work and stay the extra
hours. I personally have put together, you know that Lou Rawls song, famous on WGN?
You'll never find.
No, well, it's the one that he did for WGN, Chicago's very own.
Oh, yeah, I know what you're talking
about. The most the most. You know, it's beautiful, and it's like a montage of you know, different Chicago scenes. And they used this back in the day in the 80s.
Yeah.
You know, and showed Bozo and like all the things that are quintessentially WGN. I've recut that. I've got a morning show version of that I got to say I think is pretty funny.
Nice. So you're going to be doing that.
It's no kitty cats. It's no kitty cats or babies, right. But it's, you know, it'll kill a couple of minutes.
Can you tell me exactly when that's going to be on?
I don't really know.
Dean, is Bozo going to make an appearance?
Bozo is going to be on the show.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Yay.
Yeah, Bozo's going to be on.
You guys going to play the Buckets game?
We are going to play the Buckets game. Gilbert Gottfried is going to be on the show. Frank Caliendo is going to be on the show.
You putting Gilbert on?
Yeah.
Okay.
I told you, we contacted major people, and they all turned us down. So,
is Caliendo in town, or are you running the interview from the other day?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I bet.
I'm not sure what the deal is on that.
There's new SNL cast members.
I've been out of town, Steve. I have to catch up with my production notes on all that.
I understand. There's new SNL cast members. One of them is from Chicago,
yep,
as usual. The review of Mamma Mia.
Yep. Can poor Ryan Lochte get a break?
Well, we talked about this earlier, but you know what, Jake? This would be a perfect opportunity for you to play the best of Ryan Lochte when we come back.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor.
All right, give it to Lochte. You got the Lochte ready? Tell me when Lochte's ready, because I want to hear the best of Ryan Lochte. And when I say the best, do I actually mean the best? No, I really don't. No, I don't. You know what I actually mean when I mean Ryan Lochte? I mean this.
The reason why I love swimming is because racing.
What defines me? Ryan Lochte.
Yeah, kind of stay under the profile, under the radar.
7 times 4.
21.
What I was always good at was letting things go through, like, through one ear, out the other, so to say.
I can't wait until I'm done swimming, then I can go to the market to do a little shopping.
I think that's my biggest key in my workout, is with swimming and weights, is, like, my weight room.
Yeah, 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 boy. Aw, yeah.
I mean, I'm not a big, like, sentimental guy, like, I don't really cry.
What is on your cell phone screensaver?
Rocks.
Rocks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you always this cool?
I guess. I mean, I don't really see myself as being cool, but thanks.
Oh, that poor guy. So, you know, he does his dance last night. They do a foxtrot. Cheryl Burke, I think, is his partner.
Yes.
They
yes.
do. They
and
do,
he was rushed by members of ISIS.
And some a couple of mopes run on stage chanting anti-Lochte slogans.
And what clearly is the worst protest in history.
Exactly. So, you know, Carrie Ann and Abba is, you know, reviewing them, judging them.
Yes.
While all this is going on, Tom Bergeron, you know, goes to a commercial, and when they come back, you know, they kind of get the train back on the tracks again. But afterwards, after the show, Lochte talked about what he was thinking while this protest, this interruption was going on.
At that moment, I was really heartbroken. My heart just sunk, and it felt like someone just ripped it apart. But, you know, I just... Then I had to brush it off. I had to realize that I came out here in front of millions and did something that I don't know how to do. I don't know how to dance. And I gave it my all. And, you know, I'm glad that I did it, and I'm glad that I'm here.
So there you go.
Very inspirational statement from Ryan Lochte.
There you go. I'm dabbing away some tears right now.
He's heartbroken.
I am.
Totally heartbroken. By the way, at the end of the segment, Dean, coming up, I will play for you the Steve Cochran Show all-time top 10, number 3. It's a Babyface and Whip Appeal. Hey, Mary, how'd Babyface do last night?
He wasn't too bad, actually.
Okay, good.
Kenneth Baby. He did the foxtrot. He was light on his feet. He was okay.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. All right, item number 2 on the big list. We got new SNL cast members.
Yeah, they announced the names of 3 people who will be joining the cast.
Eric and Kathy?
When the show will not be debuting October the 1st. Mikey Day is one of them. He's been a writer on the show.
Yeah.
And is actually the head writer on the Maya and Marty show.
Okay.
And he's going to be making a transition to on camera. Okay. Melissa Vicenior, she was a top 16 finalist on America Got Talent. She'll be the first Latina on Saturday Night Live.
Is that right? There's never been a Latina?
Never been a Latina on the show.
Interesting.
And Alex Moffat, who is from Chicago. He taught teen improv at Second City. These are the people who will be replacing Jay Farrow, Taryn Killam, and John Rudnitsky, whose contracts were not renewed a couple of weeks ago.
Rob Kardashian and his girlfriend went to the baby doctor yesterday, and this is how slow the entertainment news is today. This is one of the items.
This is a big story, Steve. They announced on their reality show over the weekend, Blac Chyna is his fiancée. That's her. She's a model.
Wait. Blac Chyna's a girl?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was their choice in dishware. I thought they were going with the black China.
No, she's a famous, I'm actually kind of inspired by her that she chose that as her professional name.
Wow.
I'm seriously thinking of changing my name to Paper Plate.
Yeah, Paper Plate would be good. Yeah.
She's a model. You've seen her. She's in a bunch of videos.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of videos. Yeah. Anyway, she and Rob Kardashian announced.
Does Black China know Red Solo Cup?
I believe they're cousins.
Okay.
I believe they are. They announced over the weekend on their show that they're going to be having a daughter yesterday.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Black, if I may be on a first name basis with her, shared on her Instagram the sonogram of the little child. Just like a little peanut in there, and wrote, "Never give up, always have faith, fairy tales do come true."
So her fairy tale was to marry Rob Kardashian and have a child with him?
Apparently.
She needs better fairy tales.
Can I tell you guys what Black China's real name is?
I'd like to know.
Angela White. I'm 100% serious.
Well, of course.
Look, I don't know if... if that little unborn baby can hear my voice right now.
Run!
You don't know what kind of family you're about to be born into. Listen to Uncle Dean and stay in there as long as you possibly can.
I think run is a better option. So in other words, it goes like this. Run!
Abbedy, 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 abbedy. Runs out of the delivery room.
Right, exactly. Sharon Osbourne, what happened?
She revealed yesterday that... she had a mental breakdown. This all took place right around the time that she announced that she was leaving her husband, Ozzy Osbourne, because of his infidelity problems. But she said that literally for 6 weeks she was unable to talk, felt like her brain had just shut down. She's okay.
This is when she found out that he was diddling with the housekeeper or whatever?
Exactly correct. Yeah. Exactly correct. For which she apparently has forgiven him and... they're going to try to get back together again. But at that time, that's what it caused. Apparently, she's doing okay now. She's back on.
How would you know Ozzy was interested in sleeping with you? I mean, you know, there's no Rosetta Stone for whatever it is he says, right? There's no tapes you can buy.
There is no there's no Google Translator.
And usually he just screams out his wife's name, which would be kind of a buzzkill, I suppose, if you're the girlfriend.
I suppose so. I think the bigger question is
Sharon!
Who even gets involved with him in the first place?
Idea. The world's filled with nuts. And then you saw Mamma Mia?
Steve, pot for every lid. Yes, a new production of Mamma Mia that's at the Paramount Theater in Aurora. I got to say, I was a little bit disappointed in this production.
Here I go again.
There it is now. There's Mamma Mia now.
It's weird. I don't hear it.
22 songs from the supergroup ABBA. Storyline of a young girl trying to learn the identity of the father that she's never known, so she invites all three of her mother's former boyfriends to her wedding.
Oh, so exciting.
On a remote Greek island. Now, this show, the ABBA music kind of implies a campiness and a, like, fun.
Mm-hmm.
This particular production, I've seen several of them, was kind of flat on every level, kind of reserved. It needs more energy. It needs more warmth and whimsy. The music's there. It's very familiar. The performances are okay, but it's not as
just
fun
not
as this
done.
Show is supposed to be.
I'll tell you what
be.
Help. I got a song for you that they should add into it. Go ahead and roll the song I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You do Mamma Mia with this in it, I'll watch it twice. And my mom married three guys. Wasn't that the story of Mamma Mia?
Let's go to a Greek island, flaming cheese.
So good. I'm just going to go listen to this while we do the big story when we come back.
Do you mind if we use that song during the primetime special tomorrow night?
Could kill another 3 minutes for you.
Watching a cat lick its own fur, listening to that song. I'm telling you.
WGN Primetime Morning News tomorrow night. We're back with a big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
841, as a child of alcoholics and having loved alcoholics and addicts my entire life, I was a little bit reluctant to watch Elizabeth Vargas talk to Diane Sawyer on Friday night, but once I started, I was hooked. And that's a terrible choice of words, but I was hooked in to watch what she had to say, and I was really knocked out. She joins us now live from New York, I would assume, about Between Breaths a memoir of panic and addiction. Thanks for doing this. And let me just say, you and I don't know each other, but I couldn't be more proud of you.
I
was just so amazed at what you said. And having two parents who were alcoholics and abusers and things of that nature, I'm just here to tell you, your kids are going to be okay because you love them.
Oh, thank you for saying that. That's probably the nicest thing anybody has said to me.
Well, I think you deserve it. And I think one of the more fascinating things that came out of that was a discussion about the connection, particularly in women, between anxiety and addiction. So talk about that for a second.
Oh, well, it's unbelievable. And I had no idea. I mean, I just knew my own story, which was that I've been really anxious and had panic attacks since I was a child. I had them every single day the year my dad was in Vietnam. And I even when I was working in Chicago at WBBM years and years ago, right. I had a panic attack on live television during a newscast one Saturday night that I was anchoring. So it's definitely something that I've struggled with my whole life. And I never drank as a really hardly at all through high school and definitely not at all in college. And when I was in my 20s, in local news in Phoenix and Chicago, we would all go out after the newscast and have a few drinks. And I discovered that alcohol definitely eased my anxiety and my stress and my worry and my insecurity. And the difference was other people were drinking to feel good. I was drinking to not feel something.
Right.
And lots of women do that. 62% of women who are alcoholics also suffer from anxiety. It's absolutely incredible. And women are far more likely, according to experts, to self-medicate, to relieve themselves of anxiety, depression, stress, worry, all the things that a lot of women suffer from.
I would think if the journalist in you kicks in here and now, what is the next mission to figure out what medicine is doing about making sure that we're treating anxiety appropriately?
Actually, I know that already, based on that research, people in the recovery world and in the medical community are trying to find a different model for treating alcoholics, because so many of them also suffer from anxiety. And what the drinking does after a certain amount of time is it fuels the anxiety. It changes, your body changes. And they say that people who are anxious are twice as likely to relapse when they're trying to get sober. So that they're now looking at models and different models of how to treat those people who are also anxious, because it is so much harder for some of them to get sober. Elizabeth, big fan of you and your work and all you've covered. How did you know there was a problem? Was it when you went home and had a glass of wine and thought, oh, well, maybe I'll have two or three? When was that first moment where you thought something's not right? Gosh, it wasn't until I started having consequences, whether it be waking up feeling hungover or, my husband saying you drink too much. I drank for decades a couple glasses of wine at night, thinking there was absolutely no problem with that, because so many other people do. I must have had my head in the sand. It was, embarrassingly long before I realized I had a problem. I was also a very highly functioning alcoholic. I was able to do a very demanding job and to do it very well, all the while managing my drinking around it. So that
That's the amazing thing, because you literally have a job where you're hoping people are looking at you.
Yeah.
And the last thing an alcoholic who's trying to hide their disease wants is for people to look at them. So if that doesn't make you anxious, I don't know what would.
Yeah, well, exactly. That just made it all, the stakes even higher. There were, at the end of my drinking, there were absolutely, and we showed them on Friday night, a couple of shoots that I showed up to looking so horrible and feeling so horrible that you could clearly see, I can see clearly, the effects of my drinking. Even then my producers were like, she must be tired or she's jet lagged or, one of them was in India and it was, whatever. And alcoholics will lie. We will do anything to protect our ability to drink when we're in the grips of that disease. So,
there's a couple of really other powerful things that I thought jumped out Friday night. One of which it wasn't any parent that's connected can identify with. I said, I'd die for my kids.
Yeah.
I'd die for my kids, but I couldn't stop drinking for my kids. And if there's a message for the codependents of the world,
right.
And I used to be president of that chapter.
Yeah.
It's that you can't love anybody hard enough to get them to stop. And you have to decide that you want to live more than you want the next drink or the next hit. And you finally got to that point.
I did. But I also, I told that story to help people, frankly, like you, because I think the people in the wake who are just hurt and
by the alcoholic or the addict and the actions that they take. I mean, a lot of people, I've heard people say, why didn't my mother or my father love me enough to stop drinking? And it's not about that. Yeah. You know, I would die for my children, but I couldn't stop drinking for my children. It's not, I'm not drinking because I don't love you enough.
Right.
I'm drinking because there's something I'm feeling that is so horrible, I will do anything not to feel it.
You have a great relationship with your now ex-husband, as I'm told, and you detail some very personal stuff in the book, too, about a guy that you fell in love with and still love, and your co-parenting and all of those things. But I hope you wake up with a sense of optimism now that you didn't have in the past.
I do. I wake up mostly with a sense of gratitude, I'll be honest.
Right.
I had a really skewed perspective for a long time, and it's something you have to work on every day. I remind myself every morning and every night of all the things I have to be grateful for, because, you know, and this is true of anybody, whether you're an alcoholic or you're just, you know, walking through life. Sometimes being a little bruised by it. You know, it's important to focus on what there is that's good every day, because otherwise you can get consumed with what is bad or what is hard or what is, anxiety producing or stressful. And I wake up every day feeling really grateful.
One other thing before we run out of time, and again, it jumps out from Friday night, the conversation with Diane Sawyer, and I'm sure if you go to abcnews.com or 2020's website, you probably can still get it.
Right.
But you also talked about your kids extensively, and I believe Diane Sawyer asked you, did you ever lash out at your kids? And you made a point of saying, I didn't harm them physically, but it doesn't mean I didn't harm them. And the reason I bring this up is because there's people driving to work right now who are listening to us who have a problem with alcohol, and they know they have a problem with alcohol, but they're in denial by saying they're not harming their kids emotionally and for the future. It may not be enough to make you stop, but it better be on your list to get you to that point at some point.
Yeah, she had asked me if I ever put my kids in physical
right.
danger, and while I never ever drove drunk because I don't have a car, and thank God I never did that. You're absolutely right. If you think that you're just hurting yourself when you're drinking destructively or using drugs or whatever it is you're doing to escape these bad feelings, you're wrong. You're hurting everybody around you. And if you're really lucky, as I was, you have family members, you have the chance to right the ship and make amends and to the greatest extent possible, apologize and atone and set a new example.
I've got a special needs brother who was an Olympic level drinker till about 13 years ago, and he's my he's my hero in life. And I told him we'd be talking today, and he said that he wishes you the best and wanted you to know that.
Well, tell him thank you so much. That means the world to me.
Between Breaths, a memoir of panic and addiction. If you get to Chicago, come see us.
But I will.
Really, really happy for you.
Thank you.
Take care. That's Elizabeth Vargas from ABC News. And you think about the in a business, it's a tough business that you. You and I have been in forever. Dave, you've been in this forever. There's not a lot of tolerance for not being work ready. There's not a lot of tolerance for not being able to do your job. She's a very talented woman, and she always has been. But ABC went back to the well three different times for her and said, this is it. You know, you got to get it right this time. And it wasn't just because she was a valuable commodity to them. It's because the people at ABC that were involved in management at those various points cared enough about her to try to save her.
She also
or to help save her.
And she tells a great story in the book about her son. I think her son was watching her do an interview with Katy Perry and said, what happened to you, Mom? What was wrong with you?
Because he had an inkling that something was wrong.
Yeah, he just saw her on TV and thought, what's wrong with you?
I can tell, and again, this is for people who do drink. I can tell you right now, you're not fooling your kids. I had an ulcer when I was 5 years old. Five. Now, I may not have been able to intellectualize exactly what was going on in my world, but I knew there were big problems. And those problems largely stem from the fact that my parents were getting smashed most weekends. So, again, do what you need to do to save your own life. I understand the disease better than most, but I will tell you this. The fact that you are hurting your kids and that you're not fooling your kids, as I said to Elizabeth Vargas there, that better be on your list of figuring your life out.
Did you ever say anything to your parents? Like, why are you drinking?
No.
Or why are you doing that?
Well, I
you're
suppose,
5 years old.
I suppose, but it lasted, you know, the entire time I was growing up till I left the house probably. But I suppose at some point, you know, I mean, there were different incidents and things, but nothing specifically where, you know, I said, you got to stop. I was more concerned about Mickey. You know, and by the way, I talk about Mickey on this show, my brother, because he says it's okay for me to talk about him. He wants people to know his story. And he's high functioning, but, you know, he's got significant disabilities that were obviously made much worse by the fact that he was a drunk for all those years. And I was more concerned about him, because imagine how wrong that looked. You know, you're growing up as this guy's little brother. You know he's got issues, and now he's drinking.
Right. And he's such a gentle soul, too.
He's amazing. I'm glad you guys know him sober, because he's an amazing guy.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Now, Schaumburg, next stop for the WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour. Next Thursday, Dave, is this good for you next Thursday?
Next Thursday?
Next Thursday at the Trickster Art Gallery in Schaumburg.
Yes.
From 6 to 10 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
That's the time of the show.
I don't have anything else planned for that time of day, usually.
You can experience Illinois' only Native American-owned and operated art museum. Enjoy treats from Lou Malnati's Pizzeria. What treats? Aren't they bringing pizza?
That's a treat.
Yeah, I suppose it is.
Yeah.
We'll give you a chance to win tickets to the sold-out 2016 Chicago Blackhawks Training Camp Festival and more. And visit the events page at WGNRadio.com for details. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. At 9:10, joining us in studio, we have a social media dance movement. And you're going to explain it to me, aren't you?
I certainly am.
Your name?
My name is Pat Tlongan.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Where are you from?
I'm from Bloomingdale. So I'm the president of the Children's Neuroblastoma Cancer Foundation.
Neuroblastoma is a brain tumor?
No, actually it's a tumor of the sympathetic nervous system, which is outside the brain. So from the neck to the pelvis area.
Oh, really?
Yes. Most tumors are usually found like in the adrenal gland.
And how do you come to this cause?
Unfortunately, I had a little boy who was diagnosed with neuroblastoma back in 1995, and unfortunately, he lost his battle in 1999, 2 weeks after his 10th birthday.
That's terrific. I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he fought hard.
I can tell you that I'm endlessly amazed by people like yourselves who go through something like that, and instead of running from it, you dive back in to help others. So God bless you for that.
Well, thank you.
So what is the cause, the specific cause you described, but what are we doing for it?
On September 20th, Neuroblastoma Awareness Day, we are asking everyone to do a 20-second dance video. You can do it with your friends, do it by yourself. So
we should do it.
We've got a group, right? Yeah. We've got the Rockettes going.
We're in. You haven't
well,
seen
we're
our
not
moves.
Rockettes because, you know, I'll have to stretch to get my legs that high.
But yeah, we're asking everyone to do a 20-second dance video, upload it to social media with the hashtag 20 for Hope, tag all your friends and followers, and ask them to do the same, come up with a great video, pick a great song.
Cool idea.
Hopefully raise some money for neuroblastoma research and education.
And where's the money going to go?
It'll be going to our foundation, and we work with neuroblastoma researchers across the country that specialize in this. And we provide research grants for them and provide education for our parents.
What sort of medical breakthroughs are we coming upon?
It's kind of slow, but within the last couple of years, we had an antibody therapy that actually increased survival rate by about 20%,
well,
which is huge. Which is very huge, yeah. Very huge. So the long-term survival rate is now up to about 40% for high-risk children.
Well, that's great.
Yeah, Pat, they call neuroblastoma the tricky cancer to diagnose because does it not masquerade? The symptoms are similar to other childhood illnesses.
Correct, yeah, especially like with infants. It's very hard to detect because obviously they can't talk and they sometimes get constipated and cranky. And if they're older, then it could possibly be, you know, their legs hurt, which might be growing pains.
Sure.
Might have a low-grade fever, so it is very difficult sometimes to detect.
So we're going back 20 years with your son. Mm-hmm. Was it even more difficult then, just logically?
Not for him, because he was a little bit older. He was 6 years old when he was diagnosed.
So he could say how he was feeling, at least.
Right, right. And but even then, you know, you're 6 years old, and he was kind of on the wild side. So it's kind of hard to tell when, he, you know, something really did hurt him or whatever. But, you know, one time he did say his back kept hurting. We thought, eh, maybe we better take him to the doctor. And luckily for us, they ended up finding it right away.
Sure.
So...
And as you said, he put a back of a fight. And again, it's CNCF Hope, right?
Correct.
CNCFHope.org. And September 20th, CNCF is asking everybody to make a 20-second dance video. Dave, you have a song that you're thinking you're going to dance to?
I got to give that some thought, Steve.
Well,
why don't we do the baby face
song
that you wanted?
Said, oh, yeah, Whip Appeal.
Yeah, let's do Whip Appeal. We'll do our video.
That's what I'm talking about. Do you have, what was the song? Yeah, My Song. It was Elton John's
yeah,
My Song.
I don't think
song.
You can dance to that.
I think you do a slow interpretive dance to that. wouldn't you like to see Dave do a dance to My Song?
My Song? How about Funky Town or Twist
okay.
and Shout?
All right, well,
or...
those might work better.
Andre, do you have a song?
Well, I would probably pick an 80s song or kind of a rock song. We can all headbang.
Got to do way. Footloose. Footloose.
Yeah, Footloose?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe, yeah. I'm thinking best. Walk Like an Egyptian.
Oh, you could do that.
Or something like that.
Oh, mm-hmm. If I do Whip Appeal, I'll do 20-second videos. I'll do the whole song.
There you okay. go.
Yeah.
Upload them every 20 seconds then if you want to.
All right, and we can put this on Twitter or Facebook, wherever?
Correct, yes.
All right. Instagram. It's a very cool idea.
Yeah, thank
Instagram.
You.
Instagram. Mm-hmm. Don't Snapchat it because it'll go away.
Right, right. You don't want to do that.
Right, exactly.
That's your second Snapchat reference today.
I know. I'm very hip.
You're very hip.
CNCFHope.org. I used to be, at least. CNCFHope.org. Really nice idea. And thank you for doing this work.
Well, thank you. And we appreciate you having us on the show.
You bet. 9:15. Let's take a break. Come back. Continue next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Dave, you got one?
Well, I did have a brief karaoke career.
All right. What
it was
your,
one
what,
time?
What was your song?
Your song,
Elton John. Your song.
Your
That's
song.
Not an easy song to sing.
Oh, yeah, let's
not.
Hear it.
No, no, no.
Dave Bennett does we, Elton. John's
I don't think
your
we need
song.
To. I don't think we really need to do it.
Come on, come on.
Right, what are the lyrics? Because I forget.
You can tell
everybody, this is your song.
Listen to that.
Maybe
simple.
Quite simple, but
now that you're gone, now that it's gone.
Yeah, now that you're.
I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind. See, I can't hit those notes
no,
anymore.
No, but that was good. You kind of want Barry White on.
Your voice is like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but
I think we all got a little emotional.
Now that it's done.
Hearing Dave sing this Elton John classic.
I hope you don't mind. I hope you don't mind.
No, no, I... Fool me once.
Hey, you two are ruining it.
How wonderful life is.
You're tempted. I can tell you're tempted. Hey, you know what I like to say? It's no Whip Appeal, but it's not bad. It's 9:20 in the morning. The Hillary health questions that persist are an issue because Hillary Clinton made them an issue by not being upfront and forward with what she was dealing with. Originally diagnosed with pneumonia late last week, she thought she could, quote, tough it out. And in not being able to, quote, tough it out, it appeared that this was just another cover-up in a long line of dishonesty from Hillary Clinton. In the big picture, the sickness itself shouldn't matter. People are entitled to get sick. People are entitled to not feel well. What does matter is this another incident of the Clintons playing by their rules and nobody else's and allowing that dumpster fire, Donald Trump, to go ahead and have one up on her again. It's the only reason this race continues to be close. And it's a stunningly stupid campaign that's being run by Clinton at times. It's really, it's outlandish. But the question has come up and it has to be answered because it continues to come up. And it's funny, too, because you think leading up to the RNC, there's a question about how do you replace Donald Trump? Well, if Hillary Clinton were physically unable to continue, it's a huge leap, kids. But if she were physically able to continue,
unable,
the DNC, or chose to step down, the DNC would have to meet. And whatever the composition of the executive committee of the DNC would then either craft rules specific to their party or take a simple vote on who would be the person that would step in for Hillary Clinton. The obvious choice would be Vice President Biden.
Right.
It wouldn't be Tim Kaine.
No.
Because Kaine, hasn't been in that position. I think Biden would take it if offered, unless there's something really, really, really wrong with Hillary Clinton that we don't know. And I can't imagine a scenario that that's the case. She's a 68-year-old woman with pneumonia. You know, I mean, if anybody's had pneumonia, I've had it a couple of times, and I've had it in my 30s and my 40s. It sucks. It'll knock you down.
Right.
So she, in all likelihood, is going to be fine. But it's not that complicated. The DNC would simply say, we're going to take a vote, and the vote we take does not involve a public vote. It's not a vote of the people. It's a vote amongst the Democratic National Committee, and in all likelihood, again, it would be Biden. So then I suppose you'd have a Biden-Kane ticket, but don't count on that.
No. Do you think, though, this is so blown up? Do you think because of her poor track record as far as telling the truth is what it is, that this is such a big issue? Because But say there was no issue with the emails or anything about the question of telling the truth, and she didn't disclose the fact that she had pneumonia.
No, it'd be a way of smaller deal.
Right, because most people don't want to admit when they're sick in the first place.
Well, that's you.
Well, no.
That's you. That's you.
You know, we all pull the I'm fine card.
I don't. Well, I don't.
Sandberg did.
If I'm sick, I'll tell you I'm sick. No, Sandberg's got this cockamamie theory. That you're only contagious when she's directly exposed to you.
On day one.
And if you come in one day and you don't get it, you can't get it the second day.
That's exactly how it works.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Dr. Sandberg. Oh.
And I was fine. See? I just was a little sick and fine at the same time. So I went with fine because I'm positive.
Yeah. Well, when was the last time you weren't positive? my favorite story, though, amongst the candidates, doesn't just go to Hillary's dishonesty. Give me cut eight again, will you? This is Donald Trump's idea for the debates. Now, I'm telling you now, this is not one of those mark my words moments, but I'm telling you now, as we get closer to the debates, we're 13 days away, you're going to hear more and more hedging from Trump. And the debate, the previous candidates automatically gave up their tax returns. For instance, there's a big story in the Washington Post about Donald Trump and Donald Trump's lack of charitable giving and how whatever charitable giving he has done has been other people's money. Now, you can make the argument that the Clintons also give away other people's money by way of their foundation, but that foundation has done specific work, and that specific work that was done by that foundation has never tried to be hidden. They also haven't taken credit in saying it's our money that we're giving away. Donald Trump has given you every reason to believe he personally is writing checks. The Washington Post and other media outlets have done stories this week that show the last charitable contribution he made to his own foundation was 2008. And one of the main reasons that he is not willing to give up his tax returns in all likelihood is it'll show he's not worth the amount of money he claims he's worth, and also that he hasn't given away any money and he's kept it all, and his tax rate, because of all the hooks you can play in the real estate game, is his real tax rate is probably something around 10%, as opposed to the 30 or so that it ought to be in his tax bracket.
By the way, that's not an excuse. We've had financial experts on this show who have said even though he keeps saying after the audit he'll release the taxes, you can release them now.
You can release them anytime. And if you don't want to release the audit year, you can release previous years. It's a big steaming pile of BS. So as we get closer to the debates, Donald Trump hedging his bets on whether or not he'll even participate. This is what he said yesterday. Now, to make this make more sense, Matt Lauer did the Commander-in-Chief thing the other night. And in the Commander-in-Chief thing, it was said that Matt Lauer went easier on Trump than he did on Hillary. That's the basis of this.
The fact is that they're gaming the system. And I think maybe we should have no moderator. Let Hillary and I sit there and just debate. Because I think the system is being rigged, so it's going to be a very unfair debate. And I can see it happening right now, because everyone's saying that he was soft on Trump. Well, now the new person's going to try and be really hard on Trump just to show, you know, the establishment what he can do. So I think it's very unfair what they're doing. So I think we should have a debate with no moderator, just Hillary and I sitting there talking.
Can you imagine the cluster F that would be?
I can't imagine either of them sitting there and just talking either.
Of course not. And he'd shout her down and talk over her. And how do they decide what topics? And how do they decide when they move on? No, Don, you're going to have to be a grown-up, and you're going to have a moderator. And Hillary, if you get a cough before then, maybe tell us what's really going on. And again, the only basket of deplorables that actually has people in it is the basket that contains these two. It's 9:27. We're back with more in a moment. This is 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Well, I got me a fine wife. I got me old fiddle. When the sun's coming up, I got cakes on a griddle. Life ain't nothing but a funny, funny riddle. Thank God I'm a country boy. Woo-hoo!
Orion Samuelson set to join us in just a moment. Once a week, we take some time to talk to Big O, whose schedule remains ridiculous. He's leaving to do another speech-making tour.
No.
Right? Now, don't you have a speech to give this week? You got a speech somewhere.
Well, I did it last night.
Oh, it was last night.
Yes. I was in Davenport, Iowa last night.
Aren't you doing one or two of these a week?
Well, yeah, there are some weeks when I do, and this is a busy time because it's meeting time before we get into the harvest season, so... the Scott County Farm Bureau in Davenport, Iowa last night. A good turnout of people there. A lot of WGN listeners out that
way.
Several who asked, what is Steve Cochran really like?
Good question.
Yeah, it is. I couldn't answer it, so I just let it go. But talk about a beautiful night for flying. We flew Air Orion over at about 3,500 feet. And what is amazing from the air now, because earlier I've been talking about never seeing the landscape as lush and as green as it was all the way up to the end of August. Well, now the color change is happening rapidly, and you could certainly see it from the air. Cornfields beginning to dry out, soybean fields beginning to turn yellow and brown, and we're into the harvest season. Saw a couple of combines rolling in cornfields in eastern Iowa last night as we drove to the event from the airport. So it is a tremendous year. We've never seen one like it, and we'll probably talk about it for a good long time, because yesterday in that September crop report, they came out with corn production 15,100,000,000 bushels, up 11% from a year ago. And soybean production, 4,200,000,000 bushels, up 3% from the August report, up 7% from last year. Cotton production is up 25% from last year. And in this report, they included California navel oranges. That production is down about 8% from last year.
Okay, so this isn't simply an Illinois report. This is a fields report from all over?
From all over the country, and it covers a lot of different crops like rice and peanuts and sorghum. But the three basic crops, of course, are corn, soybeans, and then throw in wheat, and that harvest is pretty well completed, so we're done with that. But we have a long ways to go, and some forecasters are saying it could be wet, and that would change the picture considerably, because it gets tough to harvest corn and beans when you get rain every two or three days, so we'll have to watch the forecast.
Now, the Louisiana floods must have impacted some of that report, right?
Impacted the rice production particularly and crawfish production. We haven't gotten the numbers on that, but yes, the flooding in the Gulf Coast area has had a major impact on rice in that area, and probably that's not going to be recovered. So, yeah, we'll be down a little bit on that.
Does the incredible abundance this year do anything positive for the economy?
Well, not for the ag economy. We're seeing layoffs in the farm equipment industry. We're seeing layoffs in other service companies and product companies for agriculture, because the prices that I just quoted in many cases on corn and soybeans are at or below production costs. And so it's going to be tough on the agricultural community. On the other hand, when you take a look at cattle and hog prices, cattle particularly, if you don't find lower prices for beef or pork at the meat counter, I always say ring the bell and talk to the butcher and say, why not? Because the wholesale prices for beef and pork have come down. So for consumers, yeah, it's good. And
As Earl Butz always said when he was Secretary of Agriculture, the cure for low prices is lower prices, and the cure for high prices is higher prices. So
the optimum economy, or the optimum year, growing year, for a farmer would probably be not this good because there's too much out there? The market's too full?
Yeah, and it's not just here. It's worldwide. We have a supply of wheat that could take us probably a year and a half into the future. And so it's the world economy that is being impacted. South America, of course, now producing more soybeans than we produce in the United States. And so as a result, yes, the world economy is being impacted by
it. And the truth is, and well, you'll correct me if I'm wrong, but there is enough food produced in this world to feed every man, woman, and child in this world. It's the politics that prevent the appropriate distribution that cause hunger in much of the world. Isn't that true?
Very true. Ethiopia was a prime example several years ago where they stopped importing food because the government in power wanted to keep control over everything. And yes, it's very true that the transportation problem of getting it to the people who need it is not getting any easier, and politics is playing an important role in it. And then the thing that bothered me, because you know how I feel about genetically modified organisms, and I mentioned that again, GMOs in corn. When I was growing up on the Wisconsin dairy farm, we got 50 bushels to the acre. Now in Illinois, we're getting 320 bushels to the acre, so we need the technology. But a country like Zimbabwe in Africa, suffering from hunger and shortage of food, we sent them 25,000 tons of corn. They found out it was GMO, and they rejected it and sent it back.
And just based on the label?
Yes, based on the label. No medical proof anywhere that it's going to hurt us.
Yeah, that's the thing that's outrageous.
Yep,
I mean,
right.
It's just outrageous. So. All the folks at the Sandwich Fair, great week there.
Great week there. Once again, they got rain. We got a little rain out there as we ended our show. But, then I got to judge the beef contest. I think next year I'll take you along.
Okay.
And you can help as well, because there were 11 entries. And I ate a lot of beef after eating Faye's pork chop. So, anyway.
Well, a couple of guys like you and me out there, beef cake, obviously, and doing the beef contest. It might seem redundant to people, but it'd be perfect.
It would be. Yeah, and Sandwich Fair, good as ever. It's just a great fair, and they get a ton of people out
there. Nice people.
So we're glad about that, yeah.
All right, my friend, all the best. Good checking in with you.
Okay, have a good week.
That's the great Orion Samuelson, and we're back after this on 720 WGN. You outgrown your timeshare. You bought it back when the kids were little, and guess what? They're not so little anymore. They might even have little ones of their own. Oh, I'm going to see Abigail Grace today.
It's Abigail Grace Day.
Yeah, it's a bonus Abigail Grace Day. And it's been about a week. That FaceTime thing that the kids are doing.
it's great, though. You get to see her every day then.
But, oh, yeah, well, not every day, but, you know, whenever her parents, you know.
Decide to call you?
Yeah, exactly.
You mean you don't call them every day? Three times a day?
You know, I don't. That was tough for me. That was a big adjustment for me.
Do you want to?
I talk to my kids. Dave, how do you handle this? Because I talk to my kids every day. No, I talk to Amy every day.
Yeah.
But Ross acts like he's got his own life with a wife and child. I talk to my kids every day of their life. So it was an adjustment not to talk to them every day.
I texted both of them yesterday, and they texted me back. That's a surer way to get a response than calling them.
Yeah, I think it's different for women. I talk to my mom every day, but we also talk like 15 times a day because we're Greek. I think that's a prerequisite.
Yeah, it's almost a law.
Yeah, it is a law in with the Greeks.
I texted my son to make sure he was watching the Cubs last night during the Hedrick's no-hitter, and he said,
yes, I have cable.
He said, I can't text right now. I'm watching the Cubs.
That's the only time my boys answer me back, if it's sports-related.
Oh.
You call or text?
Oh, text. The boys, my daughter, either one. I talk to her most days.
The thing that chaps my ass is did I say that out loud?
Yes.
What did
the
you
thing
say?
That, the yeah. thing that, the thing
that upsets that, you.
The thing that annoys me is I see my son with his phone. And you guys know Ross pretty well.
Uh-huh.
I see my son with his phone, and I know he's screening his calls.
No.
Yeah, so I know that he'll look at his phone and go, yeah, no, I don't think so.
Well, it's kind of the proper procedure. You're supposed to shoot a text and say, hey, is now a good time to talk? Because that's how our family operates.
It's an idiotic procedure.
And also, you could use a little text etiquette. Sometimes your texts are a little too long, so it's probably cumbersome for him because he's balancing a baby and the job. And so, like, shorter might work better for Ross.
When are my texts doing?
Yeah, I'm going to second that one with Mary. Let's just move it over to an email sometimes.
You're kidding. When it's like a six-long paragraph.
See, I only
like,
get
this probably would, view it easily, easily on it.
That's funny because I get the hey.
So it's too much stress? Hold on a second. It's too much stress for you two to read a six-paragraph
text? No, I'm saying
text?
Ross, he's of that millennial generation. No, they only read 140
suddenly
characters.
We're not talking about Ross. We're talking about you two. Six-paragraph text is too much for you two to handle?
It's a little bit, a lot, sometimes.
It's a little bit long.
It's just aggressive. It's very aggressive for a text.
Oh, have we met?
I should show you my Steve Cochran
text. Also, the new segment on the show, is it What Chaps My Ass by Steve Cochran?
Yeah, you know, we could.
Or that was your band, probably. Yeah.
Can I just read three of my last Steve Cochran tips?
No, because it'll take too long.
No.
They're obviously six paragraphs.
Yep. At TSA. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's because you were contacting him. You can tell that that conversation was not initiated by him. If he initiates, it's the long text. I'm just saying.
Now, so you corrected me on which email I'm supposed to use. I'm supposed to use
the longer
email. I know,
because you keep going
email.
To my spam into my other one. So.
But I'm using the right one now?
Now you are, yes.
Okay. So anything over a one-paragraph text needs to go to email?
Yes, that would be
are you the same way, Jake?
I would prefer that, but anything to avoid a phone conversation, wow. I'll take.
So a phone conversation with me or with anyone?
In general, anybody.
But do you FaceTime with Abigail? Is that what you were getting at?